Hi, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 13, as I've recorded on my MacBook Pro using Soundtrack Pro and the Mac's built-in microphone. To those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about here is of my own opinion and from my experience with guitars, amps, effects, and so on. Please chime in with comments and questions via email to info@theguitarpodcast.net. On that note, I want to say thank you to those of you who've been emailing me. I really appreciate it. Keep it up. Good to hear from you. Today, I want to follow up with what we talked a little bit about last week in the article where George Gruen was talking about Gibson factory seconds and so on. Where I read excerpts from that interview, from that article. And I talked a little bit about my Les Paul, my 87 Les Paul Custom that has a SEC on the back of it. Basically, there's nothing wrong with the guitar. I told you that there's a cosmetic thing that may be it. Well, I wound up emailing George and sent him some photos of my guitar and where I thought, what I thought made it a factory second, what made Gibson decide to stamp it with an SEC on it. And the very next day, I got an email from George, and this is awesome. So I addressed George formally with much respect. Mr. Gruen, I read an article where you wrote about Gibson factory seconds, where you stated this stamped two Gibsons may not sell as fast as those without the stamp, but they bring the same price. Also, you stated that you had only seen one that warranted the stamp. I have a 1987 Gibson Les Paul Custom I purchased on eBay 9 years ago that was listed as a factory second. I love the guitar. It plays and sounds fantastic. The only thing I found that would warrant the stamp is the diamond inlay on the headstock is not perfectly centered over the upper screw of the truss rod cover. I got the guitar for what I would have said is at least a 35% discount from what an unstamped guitar would go for. My question for you is, in your article, are you stating that the 50s and 60s Gibsons should not sell for less than all the two or SEC Gibsons, or was the discount I received warranted? I am assuming that since there is a time limit on eBay auctions, the guitar couldn't sit long enough to get more desirable price from the seller. And I sent him a link to Flickr photos, a slideshow of the guitar. I sent it July 14th, and on July 15th, the very next day, I get an email from George. He says, "The guitar looks great in the photos. I don't see anything in the pictures that would indicate why it was stamped as a second. Based on what you've written, it appears you got a bargain. Results on eBay auctions are very unpredictable. Our track record with factory seconds has been that they bring nearly the same price as standard models, as long as nothing is wrong with them. But we have the advantage of showing the guitar in person to people who come into our showroom, whereas on the internet auction, anything listed as second is likely to make people more cautious, and they may bid accordingly." So that was really cool. I got an email right back from George with some positive information about my guitar. I just wanted to let you guys know about that. You know, I wouldn't be afraid of getting a factory second again, but just thought I'd share that tidbit so that, you know, say you're out there and you see a Gibson factory second, and you look it over and you're like, what's going on? Don't be afraid. Use your best judgment, of course, but I mean, that's straight from the master's mouth there, in my opinion. The master being George, of course. Now, on to what I really wanted to talk about is basically my approach to teaching guitar. This episode is basically it's geared towards those of you out there who are teaching guitar full-time or part-time or whatnot, and basically, I wanted to share my approach, my personal approach, from when I started teaching full-time back in 1992 to the way I teach now, which is on a very limited basis. But basically, the way I teach is I want to be the guitar teacher I was looking for when I was 14. What I try to do when I'm teaching is to give the student more than what they're asking for. Or what they're expecting, more than what they're expecting. You know, they would come in, they sit down, tune up the guitar, review last week's lesson, or if it's their first lesson with me, kind of assess their skill level, have them play a little bit for me, you know, find out how about their nerves and everything like that, I can't sit there and just play the guitar for them and show off and show how awesome I am, whatever. I mean, come on. They're here to take lessons from you. What you're supposed to give them, a good solid lesson in guitar. They don't need to see how awesome of a guitar player I am, or you are for that matter. This may come across as a little harsh, but you know, I experienced some teachers that sat down and just started shredding in front of me, and I was like, whatever, you know, what are you going to show me? And I had friends who said, yeah, they went to a guitar teacher, and you know, they went like 3 weeks, and all the guitar teacher did was sit there and play guitar in front of them. He didn't learn anything. Now, that's lousy. It's a lousy use of your time and your money and effort, and it really makes, you know, it made people just say, you know, if this is how it's going to be, I won't be able to learn to play guitar. They were discouraged and didn't learn. Now, my goal as a guitar teacher is to have the student learn to actually play guitar. That's a novel thought, huh? But to sit down, like I said, to assess their skill level and start teaching them techniques, solid techniques that you'll find on many songs in a genre of music that they're interested in. And of course, say back in 92 when I was teaching, the kids were into Metallica, Pearl Jam, Nirvana. They wanted to learn all that stuff. Well, you know, it's rock. It's typical rock. Or they liked Southern rock and classic rock and stuff like that. You know, what are the basics you're going to learn there? You can learn some power chords, some bar chords, pentatonic scales, and work from there. But some other basic techniques like sliding figures across, you know, sliding notes in the pentatonic scale or bending notes. Those sorts of things, you know, just basic fundamentals. One song that, you know, is as redneck as it may sound or whatever, this song really shows, it illustrates a lot of great guitar technique, and it's Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd. There are some great guitar techniques illustrated in the song that can be transferred throughout all sorts of other songs in Southern rock and alternative rock, and so on, which really, it's a nice foundation. It's a building block. I mean, you could take a Led Zeppelin song and do the same thing. But I just think that, you know, the Skynyrd song does a whole lot of things. You play some open nut chords, you know, D, C, and G. And you do the C two different ways. And you do the D, C, and G in bar chords during the chorus. And there's some cool licks for kids to learn during that time, too. Or adults, whatever. You know, I know that there are people that are certainly not kids out there learning to play guitar. But that's definitely a song that I like to, I always like to teach students because of all of its fundamental guitar training and techniques that it offered. And it, I mean, really, who hasn't heard the song? When you say Lynyrd Skynyrd, is that not one of the first songs you think of? Anyway, there are a lot of good techniques in there, that, you know, aside from the chords, the pentatonic scales, some decent solos in there. They're not terribly hard, but they're not terribly easy either, especially for a beginner. So anyway, that's kind of my approach, but I always, you know, want to walk them through these pieces and you know, say, I had students who I'd say, you know, I'd like to teach them fundamentals, but I want to teach them things that they like. So I'd ask them, you know, what kind of music they like or what song they want to learn. Well, if I said what song they want to learn, they may say Stairway to Heaven, or they may say something that's way over their head for someone who can't put, you know, three notes together on a guitar or play any chords. Learning to play Stairway for the first song is kind of a stretch. So anyway, instead of saying, bring some songs to me and I'll, you know, teach you this Keith Urban song or whatever it is, I think it, again, maybe a stretch for the individual student that's a beginner. If they're intermediate or advanced, sure, why not? That's whenever you get into that skill assessment. See, you know, you'll know if they can learn the song. But generally, whenever I'd get with a student, I would say, you know, what bands are you listening to? What artists do you listen to? And they just, you know, try to rattle off some, or I try to throw some songs, throw some band names out there that you know, that are related to or the same genre as maybe a band or two that they mention, to try to open them up to discussing what music they like. Because especially with younger students, they may be a little apprehensive, a little less open to opening up to an adult. You know, I'd always want to know what bands they're into. And say, you know, say back in the day, they were saying Alice in Chains or Nirvana or something like that. I would try to find one of the more simple songs by any one of those bands that builds a good foundation for good guitar technique. And so they'd be learning some cool stuff, a cool song that they and their friends would know and they'd like, and they'd be like, hey, this is cool. And on top of that, they'd be learning these cool techniques, which they could build upon for the next song, and so on and so forth. And as they progress, they'll push themselves. Another thing I always told students was they were always so concerned about how much time they had to practice, especially parents. They say, well, how much time does little Johnny need to practice? Well, you know, I think in their mind, they're thinking that little Johnny needs to practice an hour every night because they're putting this hard-earned money and time out of their day to come and take these guitar lessons. When honestly, I'll tell anybody, and I don't care who it is, 15 minutes a day, that's all you need. If you're just learning, if you spend 15 minutes every night to sit down and review what you did, just do that. You should really get something going fairly well. But the secret is, more than likely, if you do that and it really takes a hold, 15 minutes isn't going to do it for you. You're just going to go, I'm not putting it down. I'm having too much fun. This is awesome. This is something that's taking a hold. You know, I'm playing this song and it actually starts to sound like, you know, this artist or what I'm hearing on the radio or my MP3 player or whatever. You know, that's what I want to take hold. I want that passion and that love of playing guitar and music to take hold to where, you know, they just think they're sitting down, or you as a practicing guitar player, you sit down and you play for 15 minutes. And before you know it, a half hour's gone by, or you're not even thinking of it, and you're going, I don't care that I'm playing beyond that. This is great, and I'm having a great time. And that's what guitar playing is all about for me, is having a good time, enjoying the music, enjoying playing guitar. Now, back to beginners, I really wouldn't want you to play more than 15 minutes because your fingertips get sore. You don't have the calluses built up, they're going to get sore. And I'm not going to tell you to play until your fingers bleed. You know, that means that more than likely, you know, you're going to have to take a few days off, or parents are going to get mad. Or I would suggest building up the calluses slowly, let it happen naturally. And then again, if it hurts too much, why are you going to want to continue to play? So it all comes down to, it's up to you. Do you want to, you know, kill your fingers? You know, whatever. But, you know, that's kind of my advice as a teacher and my approach to teaching. That another thing is, not only do I want to, you know, teach, you know, the physical movement of playing guitar, the notes, you know, chords, music theory, songs that people like and all that, but kind of talk about a little bit of history of guitars and guitarists or bands or whatever, or whatever band that we're talking about, or kind of the equipment that guitar player uses. Of course, say we're talking about Lynyrd Skynyrd, well, we're talking about a bunch of different kind of guitars. You know, a Les Paul, a Strat, an Explorer. I mean, we had three excellent guitar players playing at once. The thing is, you have so many different guitar sounds with a band like that, where, you know, I could talk about that. Or if we're talking about Jimmy Page, it's easy. You talk about the Les Paul Standard and a Telecaster. Sometimes a Dana Electro, and of course that double neck SG EDS 1275. You talk about the instruments. Some of it might go right past, some of it might sink in, but they're getting the information. And my goal is to teach. My goal is to give them information and give them more than what they're asking for. Give them, you know, have them thinking and feeling that they are getting the best education on guitar they can get. And they're getting everything I can give them, which, you know, actually is really impossible because I can't open up my brain and just spill it out in front of them for them and them to be able to just absorb everything. It's impossible. Even they say, I taught them everything I know. You know, I can't teach anybody everything I know because they haven't had all the experiences I've had. I can't offer that. But I can do what I can to help them along. But, you know, I'm going to make a part two to this because I'm running a little long. I'm going to talk next time about choosing a guitar teacher, you know, what to look for and such. But, I mean, I would hope that you're looking for someone like what I'm talking about, that wants to talk a lot about guitar and guitarists and amps and equipment and so on to fully educate you as a guitar player, whether it's acoustic guitars or electric guitars or bass or whatever. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if bass players are listening to this as well. I think there's a lot of crossover between the two instruments. Anyway, I don't want to go off on a tangent there, but I do want to wrap up the show for today. Please chime in with comments and questions to info@theguitarpodcast.net, and I'll either reply back via email or on a future show. Thanks a lot for listening, and this is Lauren Hunt signing off for The Guitar Podcast.